I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A bunch of stuff to get to today. Let's start, though, with what happened last night, and it leads to a simple question. Are you prepared for the NBA playoffs without LeBron James? Because that's what we're going to get. The NBA playoffs without LeBron James. Lakers lose to the Bucks last night. They actually played much better than they have of late. Milwaukee's a really good team. They collapsed down the stretch of the game. And it would be all right. That kind of loss would be all right for them if they didn't have the other losses that they couldn't afford. To the Pelicans. To Memphis. Both last weekend. To the Hawks before the All-Star break. To the Cavs and Knicks while LeBron was out. And, you know, there are a bunch of hysterical takes that are going to ensue as soon as this takes place and the Lakers don't make the playoffs, which... Look, is it out of the question they make the playoffs? No, it's not out of the question. It's still possible. I would never, you know, totally count a LeBron James-led team out. But at this point, if you're asking me what I think is going to happen, I absolutely think they're going to miss the playoffs. It's just too big of a gap with too few games left, and they're just not good enough. They're just not a good enough team. You know, because you take last night for an example, and you watch what happened with the Lakers— And, you know, it articulates, or it illuminates, I guess I'm going to articulate, it illuminates some of what I was about to get to. And there are the problems that they have right now, and that is that their roster's not good, right? Like, you look at LeBron, who has started to perform like LeBron again the last couple of games. He did not look like himself coming off of the groin injury. He did not perform to his usual level coming off that groin injury. He was a little slower, wasn't moving at the same pace defensively, wasn't finishing at the rim, wasn't even shooting the jump shot as comfortable as he typically does. But the last few games, that's gone away. And he's starting to look like LeBron again. And then, you know, the sort of irony of it is, during this stretch where they haven't been good enough, they've had a second star kind of emerge. Brandon Ingram is playing like a star now. He has been really, really good since... Really, he came back from that suspension. He's been good. But as of late, he's been excellent. Let me pull up Brandon Ingram's game log for a second just to sort of try and illuminate it a little bit, what the guy's been doing. Maybe his splits for the season could help too. But if you look at Brandon Ingram this season and of late, you're talking about a guy who is putting up points in bunches and gaining confidence. I mean, 31 against Milwaukee, 23 against Memphis, 32 against Memphis, 29 against the Pelicans the other time, 27 against the Rockets, 19, 19. Then he had a couple of 11 and 12 games, but 20, 19, 36, 22, 20. Point is, you know, you're starting to get real production from him as a second guy. Kyle Kuzma can score. He sometimes makes questionable decisions and isn't very good defensively, but he's not a problem with this team, certainly. So you've got LeBron, you've got Ingram, you've got Kuzma. And then Reggie Bullock, who they traded for, has been a nice fit for them. Beyond that, the roster's garbage. And they've been running into that problem game in and game out. You know, Rajon Rondo is not a reliable player anymore at this point in his career. And many nights, he is a complete detriment. A complete detriment. Where he comes on the court and things fall apart immediately. But there's not really many options. Because you look beyond those guys. With Lonzo Ball out, you know, that makes a huge difference. Because that's another quality player in Lonzo Ball. Their best defensive player at the point of attack. Another guy who can make some stuff happen offensively. He's not a scorer, but he can make some stuff happen as far as setting other guys up. So him being out, all of a sudden, you're down to two real players, one good player, one role player, and trash. And that's been the issue. You know, some of it's Luke Walton's rotations. He inexplicably keeps going to the same well over and over again at the end of the first quarter, at the end of the third quarter, where he's putting out lineups where, you know, he's not staggering guys. So he's got a whole lineup out there that can't score. Lance Stephenson was out last night, but a lot of the times it's been Lance Stephenson and Rondo playing together in those stretches. So that's the problem that they're facing, is that they're in a hole, and I just don't think their roster is good enough to go on the kind of run that they would need to go on. And then when you get beyond that analysis, you also, you know, I'm telling you that the hysteria is coming, right? You have to look at what's the simplest explanation for the problem. There are the other explanations like I'm talking about. There are things that need to be changed. The roster composition was not good. Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka did not do a good job with the role players because the core players are good. LeBron, obviously, Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, good. It's the role players that are the problem. But why are the Lakers even in this mess? That's one reason they can't get out of it. The reason that they're in it is because LeBron got hurt. You know, that, and when you look at, you know, going into the season, you're making predictions. I saw some people say they could miss the playoffs, and I laughed because it like unfathomable that a LeBron team could miss the playoffs. But that was also, you know, we treat this guy like he's infallible or indestructible, and I never even considered he could miss 20 games, right? A quarter of the season. And that's what happened. And that's really why, you know, they were in a hole, and now they're not good enough when they're whole without Lonzo Ball to climb out of that hole. There was 6-12 in the 18 games he's missed. You know, you flip that around a little bit, and all of a sudden, you know, if they're winning at the same pace they were before, you don't have to worry about this. I mean, when he went down, they were fourth in the Western Conference and climbing. He went down on Christmas Day, remember? They were in the process of blowing out Golden State while fourth in the West. He went down. Things were never the same. He comes back. He's not the same. So you don't hit the ground running when he comes back. Now that he's finally back to being what he is, the whole just seems insurmountable, especially when you're relying on Rondo and Mike Muscala and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and JaVale McGee, and, you know, you get the point. And, you know, I think LeBron's the best player of all time. You know, I would never put anything past what he could do. But he is also, you know, like, we're talking about somebody in his 16th season. Like, you can't out of one side of your mouth, like we all did, you know, last year and at the beginning of this year, go, I can't believe he's still doing this in his 15th and 16th season, because that's not normal. And then out the other side of your mouth, act like it's supposed to be exactly how he would be in his 8th season, 9th season. And the guy's already played more minutes than everybody but, I think, 6 guys in the history of the game. When you're talking about regular season and playoffs combined, I think he's 7th all-time in minutes played.
But his numbers are still great. I know. But I'm just saying, but I feel like there's this narrative out there about LeBron and how he's like slipping. And you look at his numbers this year overall, the points per game, the assists and the rebounds, he's averaging more in terms of rebounds and assists. He's better this year. Their career best for him.
No, it's the groin injury. Like, that's the, you know, people like to lose their mind around LeBron, right? And it's coming. The official passing of the torch of him no longer as the best player in the league is coming. I treat it like, I know you're a wrestling fan, Anthony. I'd say it like this. You know, you don't lose that by count out or disqualification. That needs to be pinfall or submission. And, you know, he's had it for so long, I'm just not willing to go, oh, no, he's finished. I mean, use your brains. He looked great. You know, he looked great in December. He's starting to look great now. In between what happened, the most significant injury of his career.
Yeah.
And that, therein lies the problem, though. They got into a situation that it's hard to ask of somebody his age that's clocked that many minutes to every night be able to just go into overdrive.
Do you think he's still the best player right now in the NBA? He's not playing like it.
I'm not going to say he's not until, you know, it's a little bit more sustained, because I think, again, in December, I thought he was the best player in the NBA. So last year in the finals, he was clearly the best player in the NBA. Right, so like,
I also think it has to come down to, if there's one guy that you'd want on your team come playoff time, yeah, it's LeBron.
It's still LeBron at his best. You know, it's very, that hold is very small now, and maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year. I mean, it's a nice, it would be a nice like narrative to look back on, because you would say, oh, the year LeBron passed the torch or was no longer the best player, however you want to phrase it, was the year that they missed the playoffs and he got hurt, and we finally saw that he was human. And, you know, that makes sense. That all makes sense. But he's still been too good for too long for me to, and still is too good for me to just say simply, oh, because they've, you know, are in this position, he's no longer the best player in the game. I'm going to use my brain. He's hurt. And that was obviously a significant blow to their season. It really was probably the end of their season. And, you know, now the reality is starting to creep in. And I wonder, this is what I wonder too. Like, I know people like to, you know, there's like schadenfreude with the Lakers and LeBron and all that, and then not having success. But is that going to be fun when the playoffs come and he's not there? Because that's likely going to happen. Are you ready for the NBA playoffs without LeBron James? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Hey, thanks, voice guy, for the phone number there. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Asking if you're ready for the NBA playoffs without LeBron James, because that's what we're going to get. 855-212-4227. I'd love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. Please let me be wrong. I'm ready to be wrong. Though, you know, the one thing about it I'll say is it'd be very stress-free. There's like this anxiety and stress level that comes around LeBron. But, you know, you want the biggest star in sports on the biggest stage. Of course, I'm joking about the stress-free aspect of it, because everybody wants to see LeBron in there. And, you know, the other aspect of it too is, if Lonzo Ball can come back healthy and they can get into the playoffs, I'd pick them against almost anybody in a series. You know? That's the sad part about it. Golden State actually looks more vulnerable this year than they have in a long time. Let's say Denver was the one seed. If Denver somehow wins the one seed and the Lakers could get to the eighth seed, I'd absolutely pick the Lakers over the Nuggets in the first round, quote-unquote, upset at that point. It's just getting there. And I don't know if they can get there, because I don't know if the rest of their team is good enough, the rest of their roster is good enough, when it's just really LeBron and Brandon Ingram, who are playing great. LeBron's gotten back into his rhythm the last two games. Ingram is on a really good stretch. And beyond that, they've got Kuzma, they've got Bullock, and nobody else. And they got to go uphill. And the problems with the Lakers, it's not the Anthony Davis trade, guys. I know everybody likes to shout that. The guys that are involved in the Anthony Davis trade are playing well. That is, it's not about that. It's about the fact that LeBron missed 18 games. LeBron came back, couldn't hit the ground running. He's not Superman. He's 34 years old with a, you know, basically broken odometer. And the rest of the roster construction that everyone criticized in the summer is now on display, when it wouldn't have mattered as much, it wouldn't have been brought up as much if LeBron didn't miss that time. But because LeBron missed that time, and now they're not on an even playing field, the roster construction has come up. And also, Luke Walton, I'd like to defend Luke Walton. I would. Seems like a nice guy, a good guy. I hate, you know, like the fact that because LeBron's on the team, all these crazy stories always come around, and it, you know, he seems to be bearing the brunt of it. He hasn't been very good. And he keeps making the same mistakes rotation-wise over and over again. Let's go to Conrad in Milwaukee. Conrad, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Conrad?
Hey, man. You know, you can't rule out LeBron until he's actually totally ruled out of the playoffs. You know, they could easily sneak in to the eighth seed. In the NBA, all you got to do is go on, like, a nine-win run and hit your things right. I mean, how strong really are, like, the current 6, 7, and 8 seeds right now if it ended today? I mean, so I don't know. I'm not going to rule him out until he's out, but I do see that he's – I watched that game last night, and, you know, it was a tough – just pushing into halftime, it was tough. I was like, wow, this could be a tough Lakers team. I just really like the Milwaukee depth, and I like the Milwaukee Bucks' chances in the East, but I know that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Lakers.
Well, so, I mean, Milwaukee has been, as much as even somebody like me might doubt them a little bit because we haven't seen them do it, because, you know, Giannis hasn't proven himself to create his own shot down the stretch of games as otherworldly awesome as he is in every other aspect. When you look at every way you can measure a performance for a team during the regular season, the Bucks are the best team in the NBA. Like by every regular season measurement, the Bucks are the best team in the NBA.
Thanks, Rob.
Yep. I mean, that includes the Warriors. And emphasis on regular season. But by every measure, the Bucks are the best team in the NBA over the course of however many games have been played now, 62, whatever it is. They've actually played 64, it looks like. David in Palm Springs. David, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I'd have to agree. I'm a Laker fan, and, you know, I don't know. It doesn't look good. I think that we won't really know till Ball gets back. But, you know, regardless of how much of the roster isn't any good, like you said, this is a team that was fourth in the West and climbing and beating the – you know, the tail off of Golden State on Christmas Day, and it's pretty much the same team aside from the tiny moves they made around not getting Anthony Davis at the trade deadline.
Yeah, well, the ball injury, you know, the problem is I don't think he's going to be back for like 2 weeks, and if he was back, I'd have a lot more confidence. But, David, you know, I'm glad you recognize people are losing their minds, and what really bothers me about this is no one talks about the simplest explanation for the reason the Lakers are in the mess that they're in. There are all these other things that I agree with, like the roster construction that I've brought up just now.
Yeah.
But the fact that no one goes, well, the biggest reason they're in this mess is LeBron's injury, drives me crazy. You know, like, well, that's the obvious thing.
Well, it is, of course. And like you said, him coming back, he's not going to hit the ground running. There could be a couple of those guys that need to be flown weekly to Seattle for intensive therapy with Dr. Fraser Crane because they were on the trading block. I don't know. It's almost like a combination.
But Brandon Ingram is playing the best basketball of his career. So, like, how could one, out of one side of their mouth, say the trade has destroyed their confidence, and then witness, I guess it wouldn't be out of the side of your mouth, but witness, you know, how can you think that while you're witnessing that simultaneously, right? The guy... he would be the centerpiece of any trade. Kuzma would be the other guy that would be the centerpiece of any trade. Ball's hurt, so we can't evaluate him. But the other two guys are playing very well. Like, so how is that the reason? It doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's just weird. It's almost like there was a chemistry loss from them being gone, and they kind of played the same way in the beginning of the season until they got Tyson Chandler, and then they went on that run and worked their way up to four. But it, you know what? It almost... to me, it also almost looks like the Pelicans blew it with this trade because they were offered
100%.
The entire the entire, like, house of young core, and nobody took him. You know, the Celtics couldn't do anything. And then you had whatever, the Clippers and the Knicks. And if you look at it, like, they were – the trade value was for two playoff runs, the end of this year and next year. Now that playoff run is done for this year, and his trade value has to go down because there's only 1 year with one playoff run instead of two.
Well, you know, and then, David, I said this – by the way, just for clarity's sake, Jackie McMullen, I believe, reported yesterday that Lakers deal may not have actually been true. And we have to be careful with those sort of stories, like that whole Anthony Davis. Nobody knows what actually happened there. Right, we're following all these crazy reports. You don't know who's leaking that information. So you don't know if it's the Pelicans trying to make the Lakers look bad or an agent or who's leaking information when we get that out there. So it's not like it was ironclad proof that that was the Lakers' offer and it was denied. The Pelicans may never have even engaged them in conversation because they were, you know, upset about the whole situation. I don't know what happened. But I've said from the beginning, if that Lakers offer was true, that's a colossal mistake by New Orleans not making that trade. A colossal mistake. You're not going to get a better deal than those three. Look, Ingram, Kuzma, and Ball are good players, man. Ingram's starting to look like a real stud, and the other two are you know, young players who are at worst quality. At worst quality. And then you would also throw in first-round draft picks? That if they didn't make that move, that was insane to me. But that is not the reason. Those guys are not the reason the Lakers are in the mess they're in. The reason the Lakers are in the mess they're in, I would say, I'll go three. Like, my dad taught me, he didn't invent this, obviously, but he did, like, government work and would do these presentations. And he always said, you make 3 points. That's what people can understand. So, 3 points. One, LeBron's injury. He's out 18 games. This team can't withstand that. He comes back. He's not quite the same. It takes a while. He's old. Number two, the role players, the depth of the roster, the fact that they're relying on guys like Rondo and Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee and, you know, have to sign Tyson Chandler. And those are the players beyond their young core. And number three, Luke Walton has been fairly objectively bad in some of the decisions he's made over the course of the season. I would put it in those three reasons.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBSSportsRadio.com. No, CBS Sports Radio. It's also, there is a .com. You can get the podcast and everything. I don't know why that came out of my mouth. I'm a modern thinking millennial person. in fact, I'm Gen X / millennial. I'm like right on the borderline. So that means I have a broad understanding of two separate generations, making me a wise, scholarly fellow. We should bump in with some 2 Chainz later in the show if we've got any of the new tracks. LeBron did a good job with the 2 Chainz album. It's kind of banging. I really enjoyed it. Let me debunk a few things before I get back to you guys, because it really is driving me crazy, some of the stuff that's getting said, right? Are the Lakers going to miss the playoffs? Most likely. I'm out in front of that. I don't think, you know, and I would never doubt LeBron, but it just looks like too poor a situation. Everyone who questioned the signings they made outside of LeBron last summer looks very, 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 very right. That's true. That's true. Did LeBron struggle a little bit when he came back from the injury? Yes. Does that mean he's collapsed and doesn't know how to win and is bad for a team? Stop it. The guy's been to 8 straight finals. Like, use your minds, use your brains. We're going to question, you know, his commitment or his, you know, knowledge of what to do out on the court or how to interact with people or any of that stuff. That has nothing to do with what's going on. Everything has to do with the fact that he got hurt and the fact that their roster is not good enough top to bottom. It doesn't even really have to do with the Anthony Davis trade. I don't know. Maybe there was a little bit. Maybe one of those losses right after the trade deadline was because of that, because there was a bunch of turmoil or right before the trade deadline. Fine. That I'll give you. But you can't say that and then watch what Brandon Ingram is doing at the same time. That, like, those two things cannot coexist. There's only 20 games left, though. What are they? 3.5 back? San Antonio better go in the tank. or the Clippers better go in the tank soon. And the Lakers, at some point, you got to go on a run. At some point, if they're going to get in the playoffs, I got to win 9 out of 10 games. Something like that. And I just don't know if they're good enough. Exhibit A last night. I know it was against Milwaukee. I do. But if LeBron's going to go for 31-10-7, and Brandon Ingram's going to go for 31-8, and they still lose? And they've been getting that consistently. They've been getting 30 from LeBron and 30 from Ingram. You know, in the past, if I had told you that one of LeBron's teammates is going to be scoring 30 points every night, or close to it, you'd think, oh, they're going to be close to unbeatable. That shows you how bad the rest of the team is. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Ben in Hoboken. Ben, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What up, Ben?
I disagree with you. I think a big reason why they end up missing the playoffs is LeBron. His defense is horrendous. When you watch him play, and I have a league pass, so, you know, late night, you know, they tend to be on there. He just floats. He's always out of position, and he lets guys drive to the basket at will. And that's a reason why they lose to all these awful teams.
That's just not true, Ben. Like, look, I watch him too. There was the game the other night against, was that Memphis?
The Pelicans.
There was a game that led to the viral clips. And are there plays that he has taken off? Sure. I think a couple of those plays were just misunderstanding by people watching. Like the one where LeBron was standing there in the paint and there was the open three, that was by design. Luke Walton talked about that. He was supposed to be meeting somebody at the rim, and that was Kuzma's rotation, and they were trying to leave the shooter open, just not that open.
That's just not that game, though. It's been all season. He's one of the worst defenders in the league. And
that's I'm going to give you the defensive ratings in a second. Let's actually look at statistics. Is he the defensive player that he was in Miami?
No.
Is he the defensive player maybe he was even a couple of years ago? No.
Nope.
Can he consistently go to top-level defense at his age with his minutes all the time now? No. But is he a defensive disaster and never plays defense? That's not true. Like, that's when it goes all the way to the other level. He still is an excellent defender when he's in lockdown mode. And, you know, I think people take a couple of clips, and they used to do this, you know, LeBron's always been a better defender than James Harden. But I used to even defend Harden a little bit when that would happen. You can go find anybody's two clips from a basketball game and play them a million times. That doesn't mean it's indicative of what they were doing the whole game. I mean, there was one with Kevin Durant the other night where he was just standing there, didn't go across half court. Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead. You still there?
They struggled when he was healthy, and now to...
Looks like your signal's breaking up, man. Sorry, not trying to cut you off. But I do, just for the sake of the audience and for the sake of, like, I really try to, be as close to what I think the truth is as possible, because, you know, nowadays some people don't think facts or the truth matter. Let me look at the off-court data, and let's just find what LeBron's defensive rating is and what the Lakers' defensive rating is with him off or with him on, okay? With LeBron James on the court, the Lakers have a defensive rating of 106.2 on the season. With LeBron James off the court, the Lakers have a defensive rating of 109.3 on the season. So they are 3 points worse per 100 possessions defensively with him off the court. So he has been a benefit to their defense. And the only player who plays regular minutes for the Lakers, who has a better defensive rate, the only player who plays significant minutes, who has a better defensive rating than LeBron James, is Lonzo Ball, who's out. And, you know, I've been saying their defense has suffered enormously with Lonzo Ball out. So it's one thing to say LeBron can't be a top-level, you know, disruptor on defense all the time anymore. That's fair. It's one thing to say LeBron, you know, has some lapses where he's conserving energy or taking a playoff or frustrated or what have you on defense. That's fair. It's another thing to say he's terrible on defense. That's just not true. It's just not true.
His defensive win share is also the best on the Lakers and 30th in the league.
Yeah.
And to that guy's point, a few nights ago against the Pelicans, he played great defense on Jrue Holiday down the stretch in that game they won.
So, this is what I talk about when I say hysteria. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, he made a – like, he's not above criticism. You could say that was a bad play by LeBron. or LeBron has to do better in that instance. Fine, I'm cool with that. But you can't go with these wild hyperbolic takes that are against reality for someone whose track record cannot be questioned. Anthony in Annapolis, Maryland. Anthony, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Robin. Thanks for taking my call.
What up, Anthony?
Hey, man. Look, it drives me crazy. And I'm not – I don't particularly – I just like basketball. I like good games. I like LeBron. I like great players, up-and-coming players. I want to say a couple quick things about this narrative. One, you know, and I can tell how it drives you crazy, people won't speak the truth, or they're going to dangle a little teeny bit of the truth in their narrative about LeBron, because if they spoke the truth, it wouldn't be able to fit the hypocrisy that they spit out their mouth every night. Like, the thing about this trade affecting the team, okay, yeah, I give it to you a little bit, but like Magic said, these grown men. And if any team that should affect more than anybody, should have been the Boston Celtics.
Well, I mean, if there is a team that it might be affecting, it could be Boston. It looks like it's affecting the other guys on Boston more than it is the other guys on the Lakers.
Exactly, because if I'm a Celtic, I'm going to look at it like this. If I'm Tatum and them, we had our foot in the door last year, and the great LeBron slammed our foot in the door. So you're going to take us that was on the brink of going to the finals and tell us that we're worth to you. And this came from the GM, supposedly leaked by Danny Ainge to tell them not to make the trade. All we're worth to you is a shot at a one-and-done Anthony Davis. You're going to trade us away when we're these up-and-coming players at a shot at a one-year shot at a guy to win a chip for 1 year. And to me, that would affect their psyche. And to show the hypocrisy, people talk about how it affects them. Well, you got the whole sports media talking about the Cardinals should trade away, get rid of Josh Rosen, and draft Kyler Murray. Well, what about this young kid's psyche? Is the media destroying his psyche, or they don't care? It's just so hypocritical, the stuff that people spit out their mouth and say, oh, LeBron is destroying the team. Well, LeBron can't, no matter what LeBron wants, he can't make the trade. Magic has to make the trade. The GM of the Lakers has to make the trade.
It's twofold, Anthony. Like, one aspect is we just pay more attention to him, right? So that's
exactly.
And then two, because of that, there is just like this exaggerated, I don't even want to call it analysis, exaggerated, I use the word hysteria. I think that's the best word. There's hysteria around him. So you lose all rational thought and train of thought. Because if you were to apply the way LeBron is talked about and covered to everything else, we would never get a sane point across. Nothing would, I wouldn't even be able to do this anymore. I'd just be like, I'm done. If that was what it was for everything. Red in Georgia. Red, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Red?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call, man. A great show as always, man.
Appreciate it.
Man, what's so crazy about it? I don't question LeBron play or his effort or nothing like that in this thing, what they got going on with the Lakers. What I do question is how he carry himself and show his teammates, like, sitting at the end of the bench, three people in between him and the next.
Red, can I correct you real quick, just for the sake of what I'm talking about? That's another example, I think, that was ridiculously blown out of proportion. LeBron sits in that chair almost all the time. And he has, like, a special, like, back pillow or whatever because he's an old man, right? And what happened on that thing that went viral and everybody was talking about, LeBron went to the spot he always sits at. Somebody was sitting next to him, and then the person who sat next to him, I forget who it was, one of the other players was sitting next to him, checked into the game. And that's what happened. And all of a sudden it was like, look at him going away from his teammates. No, he went to the place he always sits, and then his teammate checked into the game.
I think y'all making it fit y'all narrative too, because I know.
No, that's what happened. It's not a narrative. That, like, there's a narrative and then there's reality. That's what happened in that game. And
all LeBron's career, I've not seen him sit on the end of the bench, but I've never seen that much distance between him and another player.
Because the guy checked in and somebody took a picture. I mean, like, and people were focused on it. That's what and like, here's the thing I would say about it, Red. Also, if you want to question all that stuff, then why does he always win? Why is he always won or always going to the finals? Like, if there was a problem, why is it all of a sudden now? When he doesn't seem to be behaving any differently to me, you know, than he has in past years. He has let his frustration get the best of him. But we saw that last year in Cleveland, too. You know, but it just happened in Cleveland in the Eastern Conference where you don't have to win as many games to get into the playoffs. And that happened in what was it, December of last year, I think, where it got really bad for them and he was frustrated, and then their trade deadline and they had time to be healthy and right, and he never was hurt. So there was no the hole to climb out of.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not questioning LeBron's competitiveness, because anyone can come back down from 3-1 deficit between the greatest team arguably in NBA history and win a championship. There's no questioning his competitiveness. I'm not doing that. That's one thing I would never do to LeBron, because I'm not seeing him at the greatest, and he's one of the greatest to ever play the game. But as for a teammate, I want you to be in. I've not seen this year where he haven't been in tune with his teammates and his coach, and it seems somewhat alienated a little bit. For his greatness, you don't expect that from LeBron. Even though everywhere LeBron not went except Miami, he haven't had the greatest of talent, and he still put the team on his back regardless and totaled them on at least to the playoffs, championship, whatever. And that's what fans expect out of him. It ain't no days off. And we don't want to accept see LeBron like this, because he's one of the greatest to ever play the game. And it's unacceptable. Period, man.
I just don't think it's that. I just think we're paying hyper attention to it. Again, if you're using the bench thing as an example, that was something that was a non-thing that became a thing. Andrea in the Bay Area, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hi, how are you, Robin?
Hey, how are you?
Yes, how's my favorite Virgo?
I'm doing well. Just to let you know, I got a minute until the hard out, so I got to get out in a minute. So you got 1 minute.
Okay, well, LeBron James Sports Astrology, December 30th, 1984, 4:04 p.m., Akron, Ohio. His chart looks very challenging. There's a Saturn aspect, which is about limitation to Jupiter, and a Neptune aspect to Mercury, which is communication. So very confusing, rather dispirited, kind of a dark night of the soul transit. Definitely not high energy. His optimism and buoyancy is dampened. So he's really feeling that his opportunities seem limited, and it's not a very high energy time as well.
Wow. You know what? That astrological reading of LeBron is way better than most of the analysis I've heard of LeBron. That sounds about right. What you just said sounds about right. I want to get into that Bryce Harper deal coming up next, because I really hate that deal for everyone involved. 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.